Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Shop Tommy John's Friends and Family Sale right now and get 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Yo, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff and a... Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the Wolf and Owl podcast with me, Ramesh Ranganathan.
Do I introduce myself?
One of my favourite... Yeah, go for it. Well, I was going to give you a big intro, but fuck it, you want to jump in, go.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, like, I've put my head down to bow to come up really cool. And yeah, you just let me down because I was waiting for you to go out. And my favourite comedian, the epicentre of my universe, Mr. Dom Davis.
Well, I was going to say something like that, but I don't know why you're bowing on what is an audio medium. I don't understand how that's a movement.
I like to do this and bring my head up to get into the, like a boxer. As a ring
walk.
Oh,
I see. Right. Okay.
I think 90% of fights are won and lost in a ring walk.
Okay. You're quite a boxing expert. And for you to say something that's as patently untrue as that is incredible. No, but you've got a boxing podcast, haven't you?
Yeah.
And would you say to any of the people you've spoken to on that podcast that you think that 90% of fights are won and lost in the ring walk? Would you say those words out loud?
I would say to some of the boxers I've talked to, look, you're a hell of a boxer, mate. You've got amazing technique. I like what you do. Work on the ring walk.
You would say that, would you?
Yeah,
if you had Anthony Joshua on the podcast, you would say, mate, work on a ring walk.
Let me just say, I'm no one to tell Anthony Joshua how to do a ring walk. That guy's got it fucking down.
Oh, okay. Who's not got a good ring walk?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be hard for me to mention names because they might be people I know. I just think it's a bit of theatre, isn't it? Think about it.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to a fight, you want to get everything. You know, so for me, that bow down, like you're sort of eagerly waiting, your sort of face is all right up at the camera and you're sort of like eager, which is really good. But with me, there's that air of drama.
Well, before we carry on, that is absolutely not how I'm approaching this. I'm hoping that people listening to this know enough about me to know that's not the case. But yeah, this false description you're given of how I am. I'm just sitting here calmly. You're excited. You've got dressed up for it. By the way, before you launched into this little personal sort of attack on me, your top, glasses and hat combination are exceptional today.
Thank you.
You look unbelievable.
Really?
You really do, yeah.
You know what? I've really... I actually generally got dressed up for this. That is...
Did you?
This is the height now of my social calendar. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to make an effort for Rom today.
You're wearing is that a flat? It's a flat cap, right?
Yeah, it's a Baker Boy.
A Baker Boy, right? Do you think I could pull that off? Okay, I think you've that no need to continue.
No, I don't know. No, look, I've known you for a long time. The backwards baseball cap and a beanie are already over there, like a part of your image that I find endearing. Like, look, a lot of people try the flat cap. You know, I think with you, that would be you might end up looking a bit like when I saw Ryland Clark in one.
Hold on, what does that mean?
No, it's
Why would it be a bit like when you saw Ryland Clark in one?
No, because your face is, I don't know if your face is strong enough to hold one. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
did it not suit Ryland Clark?
No.
Okay.
But Ryland, again, that? Ryland, I've seen Ryland wear one. I'll tell you what would really suit you, and I'd like, actually sure. Might buy you one for Christmas, a fedora, big hat, like. You know, you see where I am.
A fedora. Yeah, I know what a fedora is.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would you think I would ever wear a fedora?
You look good in a fedora.
Tom, if when we come out of lockdown, I'm assuming that you and I are going to meet up. We've just been hanging out on the set of King Gary, all within COVID restrictions. Don't anybody... So if I was meeting up with you after lockdown, and without any kind of warning, we've not had this conversation, I turned up to meet you in the pub wearing a fedora.
Yeah.
What do you... Now, don't bullshit me. What would your reaction honestly be?
I would be
because
like...
if you turned up in a fedora, I would cunt you off, I reckon, for 30 to 45
You know,
minutes,
I brought a fedora. But... I've not had the courage to wear it yet.
Well, I should not have said that. Have you really bought a fedora?
You want me to get it?
Yeah, please. How far away is it from you now?
It's literally here, in this cupboard.
Okay.
My wife keeps saying that you've not worn it yet.
Was it expensive?
It was Trumpy, yeah. I went to the same place that Guy Ritchie gets his hats.
Makes sense.
Look.
Oh, it's in a bag. It's in a bag.
Look. Still done up the bag.
Yeah, okay.
So this is the first time I've opened it. Still wrapped.
Oh my God, this is incredible.
It's an unwrapping, but this is the worst unwrapping ever because done...
You know how YouTube unboxings get viral? I can't imagine that podcast unwrappings.
Can you hear that? Though?
Yeah, sounds nice. Nice bit of paper, that.
Lovely.
Okay, I'm going to tell you this straight away.
Yeah.
You look brilliant. can I? You genuinely look great. I did not expect that. I did not expect you to be able to pull that hat off.
Mate,
but you do.
This is my superpower. I can pull any hat off. Like, genuinely. Okay. No. You have fucking incredible powers, right? You're fucking one of the most intellectual people I know. You can make nearly everything funny. I've seen you use some fucking incredible trainers that you fucking... I wouldn't even have the fucking courage to wear, but you fucking smashed the life out of. You give me any fucking hat, I will fucking do something with it.
That cannot be true. You wouldn't be able to pull off any hat.
Mate, send a fucking flurry of hats to my home. And
okay, somebody's figured out how to use the word flurry.
Just to give this a bit of context, for 10, 15 years, I've been using the word slurry instead of flurry.
Yeah. And also what I would say is, even though you think you're using flurry more correctly, it's still wrong. You wouldn't say to somebody, send me a flurry of hats.
Right, so send me a decadent of hats?
Are you taking the piss?
No, I don't know. What would you call it?
What do you think decadent means?
A lot of, right?
Decadent.
Decadent means a lot of. Send me a decadent of.
Send me a decadent of. You think is a thing. You've heard decadent used in that context.
Look, I've heard a lot of words that I don't know what they mean. But what
somebody
I do
says,
is I throw them
into... How many pairs of trainers do you reckon you got? Decadent. No. That's what you think.
I've got a decadent amount of trainers.
Yeah. That does make sense.
Yeah.
But decadent doesn't mean a lot of.
What does it mean?
Are you winding me up now?
No,
are you
winding me up? That's genuinely how I thought. I thought decadent you meant a lot of, and you put it before the thing. I have a decadent amount of glasses.
No, decadent means like opulent and like over the top luxurious. You know, like if you had like some like mad over the top like super comfy chair, somebody would go, "That's very decadent, that chair." Do you know what I mean? Something like that.
So
do you know what the problem is? Whenever I'm looking it up now because. You make me doubt myself. Now I'm thinking, I don't know what... Here we go. A person who is luxuriously self-indulgent. There you go. Self-indulgent is what decadent means.
Yeah, but so I've always thought decadent meant a lot of.
Yeah, I know that's what you've always thought, but you've been wrong.
One of
you've
the always nice things been wrong. I think we should put like a little bit of on this show called Wrong with Rom.
You're so pleased with that, aren't you?
Yeah, I kind of like it. I'm going to go back to the flat cap.
Okay, fine. I do think you should... Between now and next week when we do the next one of these, can you wear that hat? Oh, no, you can't. We're on lockdown.
No. I'm really now loving it, you know?
It's a really nice hat.
I feel good about it.
I couldn't wear that hat.
Shout out to the Lad Hatters.
Yeah, sure. Got to get that discount, haven't you? Okay, Tom.
Yo.
How's lockdown treating you so far? We're day two of lockdown.
I've been kind of obsessed with the American election. That's sort of really eating up my time.
What are you? Because I imagine that you've been infuriated in with the way that.
Why I even started that? In the way that your favourite politician has been treated.
I imagine you're furious at the way that the election is being stolen away from Donald Trump.
I love that you think so little of me that you think I'm one of those idiots going, this is unbelievable. Why can't you see? This is fucking fraud, mate. Fraud.
How invested are you in the American election?
I just find it interesting. Do you know what the big thing I find really interesting is? What sort of state is Donald Trump going to leave the White House in?
Right. Do you mean actually like... Hygiene-wise?
Yeah, obviously we know he's absolutely made a fucking mockery of his presidential term. Is like, oh, that's too much. I don't know anything about all that stuff. I mean, he's going to take a shit in all the toilets and not flush it. Mm. He's going to smear stuff on mirrors. Like, all the beds will be unmade. There'll be dog's feces and piss all over the place.
Like, I can't imagine you don't have to put down a deposit. You're not getting a deposit back at the White House.
I think you will after
you?
Donald Trump. I think that'll be one of the things that you do. I think they'd have to enforce that. Like, I think it'll be like, yeah.
They'll have to bring it in. They'll go, sorry, after Donald Trump, you know, after the sheer amount of fecal matter that was spread across the White House, we are having to introduce a rental deposit. And the sad thing is for Biden, if Biden wins, the sad thing is he'll have inherited that house.
Yeah.
And also be the first person that's got to put down a deposit. Oh, I mean,
he won't get anything done for the whole month of January because he'll be clearing up stuff. He'll have to get a deep clean done on the place. And also, what I do feel for Biden is I don't know if he's got a lot of cash wrapped around him. I don't know how he is because it's going to be a big old deposit on a gaff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what would happen if you didn't have enough money for the deposit? Then you can't become president.
Yeah, yeah. Or you've just got to live in sort of like a house that's by your means and travelling to work every day. So dignifying. Hey, how are you getting on, Joe? I've nearly saved enough money so I can live in the White House.
Do you find that the 3.5-hour round trip that you've got to make in and out of the White House is affecting your job at all?
Driving every day from Delaware. See you tomorrow, Joe. Oh, there's days I just think, was this all worth it?
I'd best leave because, I won't get home till 7.
His wife on the phone. Joe's working so hard, he leaves the house every day at 4:30 a.m. He's just lying in a big comfy bed.
Poor bastard.
Poor Joe.
Did you ever have a job where you had to get up early in the morning?
Yeah. Yeah, I had that job for fucking years. That was my whole life.
Well, how early did you have to get up for scaffolding?
It depends. If you're working in London, usually I'd be up for sort of 5 a.m. to be in for sort of 7.
5 a.m.?
Yeah.
Every day?
Yeah, yeah. Like 6 days a week, 5, 6. Because you'd have to get into town, be in there, get a bit of breakfast. Yeah, I'd be up early. Early bird, mate.
What time would you finish?
I'd usually be in the pub by 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
3 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay, So when you tell the first part of that, I'm thinking, oh, this poor bastard, he's really grafted to get where he's got to. This fucking prick's got a shorter day than teachers that don't give a shit.
And that's with a 2-hour lunch as well.
What time would you be going to bed if you got a 5 o'clock start?
Well, it depends how long I spend in the pub. Usually about 9-ish, 10-ish. I'll be out.
9-ish.
Yeah.
As an adult, 9 o'clock bedtime adult.
Oh yeah, but I'd have had a few pints in me by then.
Yeah.
By that I mean I'd fall asleep on the sofa probably.
Were you with Catherine then?
No. I think the sad indication would be that every day I was in the pub at 3 o'clock drinking with a bunch of other losers. You know what? I realised that sort of, you know, like when you're on a tube, right? And someone on the tube smells a BO. And there was a time in my life where I used to look around and go, it's not me. But at least 9 to 10 people out of the 40 that are on here think it's me. Just by proxy. They're looking at me like, someone stinks on this fucking tube and it's definitely that big sweaty guy.
And it's horrible, that, isn't it?
I'm so hygienic when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I've always found, like, I always find that get a bit worried when, like, if I've had a curry. I remember when I was a teacher, I used to go to, there's a pub just down the road from the school, and I'd go and have a few pints, and a few mates of mine that worked in town, like the pub was right by the train station.
Yeah.
So they'd come back from London, meet me in the pub, and then, like, the night would go on from there on a Friday, right?
Yeah.
And occasionally we'd go for a curry, and you become aware, and then you go to a bar after that. If you're a white guy...
You went to a bar after a curry?
Yeah, it was really bad. I mean, I love you
to death, right? And me and you are very much alike when it comes to our lack of fucking prowess when it comes to the ladies before we did this for a career, right? Well, not before, we were both married, but the fact is, right, I've always felt that is your genuine. I can't think of anyone I enjoy spending time with more than you. You're a brilliant guy to chat to. But the fact that I felt sorry for you because I've gone, oh, he's on a plateau with me here. But then you had the sad indication is that my life, I never had a fucking, I would have a curry within a week of going out to fucking the Isobar or Zoots. But fuck me, you were going out to a, I mean, what were you thinking?
I don't know. And do you know what the saddest thing about it is? Is that if you, Tom, had a curry and then went to a bar, somebody would come up to you and they'd go, oh, he must have had a curry earlier. Whereas if I have a curry and go to a bar, people walk past me and think, oh, they do smell like that.
Just a knowing nudge as they walk past. We've all been for one, you prick. Oh, God.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin Underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Shop Tommy John's Friends and Family Sale right now and get 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
There's a guy.
Oh,
guy,
my God.
Guy over there who stinks of curry. Yeah, he's with that big guy who stinks of BO. Where are they? Are they over there in that crowd? No. It's just over there in the corner with no one else around them. The fucking horde of barflies. who find it easier to fucking latch onto those two smelly oafs rather than a fucking sticky beer and a cheesy toilet.
But that was a mistake. It was an absolute.
How many times
error.
Did you do it? Quite a few.
I didn't do it a lot because I remember, like, after the first time of doing it, the other problem with having a curry is you feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'd want to say it's incredible, but I wouldn't be able to go to a bar. I mean, I can't even go to a bar after fucking I genuinely couldn't go to a bar now after 9 o'clock.
No.
To socialise now.
It's bad, isn't it? I've had things where... Well, you were there at one, when we went to that Sky event.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so I was quite tired, and I think I was on a bit of a, you know, mentally I wasn't in a good place.
No.
And so we had to go to this Sky event, and, you know, every year they do this thing where you talk about the shows that are coming out, and, you know, it's a bit of a press launch for it. So you and I were there to talk about Road Trip and League and your show with Jamie. And I just couldn't... I mean, you even noticed it, didn't you? It was like I couldn't fucking. I was actually doing the show's damage as a result of my behaviour at that event.
You know what? I find those really difficult. Like you, I actually genuinely enjoyed your company that night because you're probably the funniest person I know when you're in that state because you hate everything in the world. And neither of us were drinking, and everyone else was, right?
No. Yeah,
but you know the person I respected most out of everything, right, was Harry. Yeah. Harry Redknapp was there with Sandra, and they told him, they did that TV bullshit thing of going, oh no, don't worry about it, you'll be out of there by 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
9 o'clock came. Harry went, I'm going, and I went, they haven't done a bit for Harry. They said 8:30, 9 o'clock. I've got a table booked at Scott's. Come on, son, see you at a big tea. Walked out. I was like,
oh, incredible, God, like incredible, and
not like in with any like arrogance to it. It was just like, that's what you told me. Whereas me and you are a pair of losers. Just like literally, they've gone, oh, what shows are we going to do last? So I'll do the ones with Rom and Tom. They'll stay around.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny, isn't it? You're absolutely right. There is no way. I don't know how late that would have had to have gone for me to actually said something. That, do you know what I mean,
mate? I'm so like. I could be in a restaurant and someone could come out and there could be fucking pubic hairs in my food and fucking dead flies in it. And I'd slag it off to my wife or you, whoever I'm sitting with. And when the waiter comes over and goes, is the food all right? I go, yeah, it's lovely. Oh, it's lovely. And I know for a fact that the fucking waiter's going to go to the chef and go, you're right, he swallowed it. He's eating it. Like the big fucking loser he is. Because I haven't got that thing to just go, this is disgusting.
I know. What about on the phone, though? Are you better on the phone?
Oh, yeah. On the phone, I can be quiet.
I love a complaint on the phone. Or an email complaint, I get pretty self-righteous.
You know how the hierarchy works for phone complaining?
How the what works?
Hierarchy.
The hierarchy?
Yeah.
The hierarchy?
Yeah, the hierarchy.
Is that...
Hierarchy.
Hierarchy. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So you say it correctly every 6 times, dude. Is that your ratio? So...
Hierarchy. Right. So here we go. You got a word that they're throwing in an extra letter in. It makes it harder to say. Hierarchy.
I don't think it makes it harder for you to hierarchy. Say. You're not saying it. Hierarchy.
Yeah, but
hierarchy sounds like a type of trainer or a move in Street Fighter.
But it rolls off the tongue nice. Hierarchy.
Hierarchy. Now, how does the hierarchy work? Go on.
So you have, I think it's a London Essex accent is their sort of like average for just the average phone calls, right?
Right.
If someone's calling up and they there's a little bit of empathy needed, they'll use a Scottish, but like Edinburgh or Newcastle to calm the person and be quite sweet to them. And then if it's someone with a complaint and they need someone to go toe to toe with that person and be quite abrasive and put them in their place. They go Northern Irish or Scouser.
What are you talking about?
That's how it works within the call centres.
So what? If you work at a call centre, you've got to have, what, 6 or 7 accents at your disposal?
No, you're not sitting there like Matt Lucas, just banging off banging off accent after accent. It's like, what do I need for this job? Oh, well, you know, obviously you've got to be good with people, plus you must literally, you know, be fucking Alistair McGowan when it comes to fucking accents. They'll have different people for it.
Okay.
You answer the phone and it's someone, and say you're there and you're like, all right, hello, I'm just phoning up because I want to bloody complain about my Sky Sports package. I'm not able to watch the cricket or the golf or whatever. And the bloke's going, all right, yeah. And he's like, oh, this bloke I can deal with. And you're like, I'm really annoyed by it. And they're like, right, I'll push this up to Luke up in Edinburgh. If he thinks you can be calmed down, Luke comes on the phone. He's like, yeah. Hey, all right there, Ramesh, Rissarang and Ethan. How are you today? And all that. And then you're like, wow, yeah, I'm bloody pissed off and annoyed with my Sky Sports package. Right? And then they're like, oh, there's no calming him down. So but then they pass you over to Belfast. And it's like, you're out there, Mr. Ranganathan. What's your problem today?
Okay. There's quite a lot to pick out from that absolute fucking shooing you gave me there in that little example.
That's quite a bit there.
First of all, the voice, by the way, which evolved as you sort of warmed to your theme and started enjoying what you were doing. So there's that to deal with. There's also the fact that I was complaining about a Sky Sports package. You made the very deliberate decision to have me complain about cricket and golf because football would have made me too interesting in your eyes. There's so many little levers going on in that horrible fucking mind of yours.
But you do see,
Who told you that?
Someone I met in a bar once who worked within the call centre for a time. It's top secret. No one else knows about it, but
right,
it's a bit of like knowledge to ban. So now you know if you're on the phone and you're complaining about something, like your phone contract, and you're like, oh, hello, it's Ramesh Ranganathan here. I've realised that, you know, I need more bandwidth on my phone, right? They're basically going to, you now know if the guy answers and is like, hey, right there, Mr. Ranganathan, you know that they've seen that your voice in your manner, that it's a bit that you're being aggressive and they've sent you to Belfast.
Okay, interesting. That's a nice thing. So now anybody from Northern Ireland that happens to take a call is going to get a load of shit now. Because the other person is going to assume that they've been deemed an aggressive call.
No, the best thing to do is then tempt yourself, calm yourself down, and work yourself slowly down the ladder till you find yourself with someone from Edinburgh, and then you know that you're...
Okay. Now you've done a little bit of embellishing now. I don't think that what then happens is you work your way down to an Edinburgh person. So you're calm enough now to talk to somebody from Woking.
Mate, you know the absolute king one. You get someone from Wales.
Well, why is that the king one? Oh,
the Welsh are so stiff. Hello, Mr. Ranganathan. It's, you know, it's jolly. It's fun. So that's the one where they go, oh, he deserves a bit of special treatment here. We're going to put him onto Quinn over in Wales. Oh, hello there, Christ, Mr. Ranganathan. I'm so glad to have you as one of our customers.
You'd make quite a good Welshman, you know that?
Yeah, that's my dream.
Do you work on your accents? Because one of the things I've noticed is not only you slip into them quite easily, don't you?
The Scottish and the Northern Irish weren't my best, if I'm honest. But I pride myself. The Welsh one, do you know what? I love the Welsh.
Oh, hello. Hello, Mr. Davis.
That's good. Oh. Yeah? That's good, yeah.
Okay.
You know, Northern, the hardest accent to do is Geordie. That's the one that I really...
Oh, you're busted. You're trying to...
Bastard.
Right, Tom, this morning I put out a request for problems, if anyone's got any problems. Most of them are awful.
Yeah. What I think people would really, I think if you can come to us with your real problems, me and Ramesh can really help you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. There's a few. Okay. How to deal, really, just as a little tip going forward, specifics are good for these, all right? So this is quite a general vague one, all right? Do you have any idea, this is from Lantern.
Right.
Do you have any idea how to deal with annoying co-workers?
Oh, wow. Now, I've actually been working with quite an irritating co-worker for the last week.
Well, here we go. This is what an incredible speed of thought there to turn this into yet another attack on me.
Also, I wasn't talking about you. You're an amazing co-worker, but yeah, that does show quite how your mind works, that you thought it was about you. I'd never say you're a dream to work with. I won't name the person. I think we both know who it is. it is a difficult thing to deal with. Number one, I don't know what the problem is that you're saying here. Like, so in a genuine, like, how I deal with an annoying coworker is quite often I'll speak to Ramesh, who's also a coworker, and we will talk about said person. I think.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a solution. I don't think that's good.
No. But you know what?
When you say we talk about that person, you're implying that we sort of sit together and like put our heads together for some sort of problem solving. What we do is we absolutely slag that person off.
Yeah, but
that's not. It doesn't solve the problem.
I think there's a lot of worth in doing that because you actually vent.
Why?
Well, you vent, don't you? And through venting, you get a lot of the shit out, and then actually you go, oh, you know what? I can tolerate another four hours with that person. I think it's important to vent.
Do you not think it's slightly bad for your soul? Does that worry you at all?
What, bitching people about people?
Yeah,
I think if you, I'd always try to say to someone's face what I'd. But you even said to me the other day, it's not when I did say.
Without getting into specifics, you said something brutal to somebody.
But it's, I'd say that to their face, and I'd say that by the. So I believe that I was like, you know, I'll say it to your face. And that's why I think that it's important to do that. But, I mean, it depends. Not everyone is able to do that, right?
Mm.
I mean, we don't know what the problem is here. This is why people need to be a little bit more...
Yeah. What I would say is, depending on... If they're talking about annoying, as in you've got to work with this person, annoying people don't often know they're annoying.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So... I think, you know, what you want to do is you want to say to that person, don't you? You want to say, look, yeah. I know you think you're funny. I know you think you're sort of, you know, when you're working the room and being centre of attention because it's your show and you think you're being sort of funny and kind of, you consider that to be you kind of holding court. What you're actually doing is being, I guess, bullying and brash.
Oh,
and actually, it actually has a negative effect on the set, on the workplace.
You prick! You're so happy with yourself. You generally, do you know what you look like there? You know, when you see like Winnie the Pooh, and he's getting closer and closer to the jar
fucking
of honey.
Hell!
You look what? You look like Winnie the Pooh, just closing in on some honey. Little Yogi Bear.
Do you know what's so sad about that? Is that I'm actually just sort of delighted you didn't call me Eeyore.
I called you Eeyore the other day and I know that it was a kick. I will just say one thing actually about when you talk about co-workers and people who say something to their people. I remember back in the day when I was working on the sites and I was working with a guy, and I will name him because he won't listen to this. He's not that kind of, his name was Graham Parker. And he had a birthday and he hired a massive area in Wetherspoons for his party for everyone.
Which birthday was this?
It was like his 40th birthday.
His 40th birthday?
Yeah, yeah. He was older than
me. Go on.
So he basically puts out this whole thing. Everyone had talked about this guy behind his back and bitched about him. He was quite an annoying bloke. Yeah. I always got all right with him. I was always quite frank with him. I found him a little bit irritating, but he was all right. That birthday, only me and a Romanian labourer called Saul turned up. Just two people. And no one else turned up. Right, and it was literally the biggest shock of his whole life. He was like, why is no one else here? And me and Saul, who spoke very little English, had to basically tell him that people found him irritating and that, you know, because there's only so many people, oh, you know, he can't make it because he's got to look after his kids, or he can't make it because he's doing this. He'd invited 45 people. So on his birthday, we sort of had to sort of tell him, which, was pretty heartbreaking.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
You know, there's a podcast called How Did This Get Made?
Yeah.
Right? and they're talking about Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
Do you know Deep Blue Sea?
Yeah.
So Deep Blue Sea is this film with these mutated sharks or whatever. And they're trying to use it to cure dementia. And one of the things that the woman that's done, you know, these sharks like go rogue and start killing everyone. And one of the things the main woman in it says to justify what she's doing is, she says, "Do you know what it's like to have to tell your father every day that a wife is dead?" And one of the guys on the podcast made the point, you know, why do you keep telling him? You know, why do you keep telling him, right? The reason I bring that up is that you decided, and listen, I'm all for honesty, but you decided on this guy's birthday, it didn't occur to you to make the excuses today and then maybe in a few days' time go to him, "Look, mate, this is a situation." On his birthday, he's invited 45 people. He's hired out a Wetherspoons, the mechanics, the underlying thing behind that.
Area in the Wetherspoons. He wasn't Keiko. He'd ordered
he'd hired out an area, reserved an area of Wetherspoons. He's invited 45 people.
Yeah.
Right? Two people have turned up, right?
Yeah.
Who was the other guy?
Saul, the Romanian. Saul. He was a Romanian labourer.
Right. Okay.
To be fair, he said, which was after the guy was like, "Why hasn't no one turned up?" And I basically told him what my where I thought it was at. Saul just turned around and went, "Is there going to be a buffet?"
Oh, no.
It's just, yeah, it was funny in a way, but only that little worse because I was the only one who laughed.
So then two people ready to laugh at, haven't there? And so then did you tell him at the Wetherspoons?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I couldn't, what was I supposed to do? Like he said, like, "Where's everyone else? You know, what's happened? Where is everyone?"
So that's the way you're saying that, by the way, he sounds quite distraught there. And then you went, "I'll tell you where everyone is. Nobody likes you."
You're such a prick. I didn't do it as brutal as that. I was like, "Let me get a pint."
"Let me get a pint. Is there a tab? Is that what you said?"
Yeah, she generally had a tab. He was like, he genuinely went, "I was like, let me get a pint." And he said, "There's some money behind the bar, but go eat. Go easy on it." I was like, "Don't worry, mate. Put 20 50 on the bar, I don't think we're going to..."
Hold on a second. A guy who was expecting 45 people receives two and then tells those people to go easy at the bar. Haven't you heard a fucking result?
This is what I'm saying about him being annoying, though, because he gives with one hand and he takes with the other. So I went and got the pint, right? So as I remember it now, he basically turned to me and was like, "Go to the bar, there's some money behind the bar." And then Saul was like, "Can you grab me like a beer as well?" And I got Graham a drink. And I went to the bar and I said to the barmaid, "Oh, I'm here with the party." And she laughed and she went, "Oh, there he has got, like he's been here for a couple of hours, like an hour or so, and no one else has turned up," type thing. They all thought he was lying about his party.
So you were an hour late, were you?
This is why I put myself in this position where I probably should never have told this story. I was just trying to give some scope to someone and help out. So then I went back to him with the three drinks. I was like, "Thank you very much. Happy birthday." And then he was like, "Where the bloody hell is everyone? You know, can you text some people?" And this is before I had a phone contract. I only had a pay as you go. And I was like,
Try not to make the story about you. There's a man here who's having a terrible birthday, Tom.
And then I said to him, "Oh, you know, I don't think many other people are coming." And he said, "Oh, what? Really? Why?" And I was like, "Well, I think people, you know, sort of, you said tend to get on the wrong side of people, and you've, I think, upset a couple of people who work with you. I think the consensus was that, you know, not a lot of people are even going to come. So I sort of think, like, just enjoy the people who are here." Oh, you know, actually, here's one. James DeFond turned up. He came to the party.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah. Ask him about the story. James DeFond came not knowing who Graham Parker was because I texted and said, "I'm at this birthday, mate. No one else is here. It's free drink."
Oh, my God.
James, bless his heart, came down. And actually,
James heard tell of somebody's birthday party that's been under-attended, so there's drinks behind the bar, and he, changed his plans to come to this pub for the birthday of a guy he doesn't know.
It was on a Thursday night, and to be fair to James, I said, "Look, this is really horrible. Do you think..." He worked in London. I said, "Look, you know, the guy's had this party. It was up in near the West End type thing. I said, look, if you're around, it would really mean a lot if you could pop in because no one else is
turned. What would it mean? Hold on. Why would it mean a lot?
Well, just another face would be there. And Graham was...
But Graham's not going to go, oh, Tom's invited a stranger.
He was over the moon when James turned up. He genuinely was so like, oh, wow, fucking hell. You know, hello, mate. You know, da-da-da, get a drink. There's sort of bit of money behind the bar still. And then we had some...
Do you know when they used to do those, like, tasteless sort of comic relief things where, like, they'd send celebrities out to these villages and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And the villagers would look so happy when these people turned up, right? They'd be so delighted. But that doesn't mean that they're having a nice life. That is, it's so terrible that any sort of glimmer of positivity they sort of latch onto, right? That is what...
Like Duncan from Blue turns up and it just breaks a respite for fucking 25 seconds. Ugh.
That doesn't mean that what's happening is great.
Yeah.
What that means is it's a break from... That is what James DeFrond was to that guy.
Yeah.
He's not genuinely happy. He's just like, oh my God, I'm in a pub with two people at my birthday party and table settings for 45.
And a buffet for 45. The saddest thing is we were standing there. By this time, James had arrived and we'd had a few more beers and we'd sort of like had some onion rings and breaded mushrooms. And and then people started just walking over to the buffet and they were like, all right, mate, is it all right if I just grab a slider or whatever?
Oh my God.
He was like, yeah, go on. Yeah, it's going to get thrown away otherwise. And then Saul took quite a lot of it home with him.
Wow, that's a really sad story.
He used to do an annoying thing, though. He'd go, a double clink for the man who bought the drink. Graham. He did this thing where he'd go, a double clink for the man who bought the drink. So he'd, like, clink the top of your glass.
Yeah, but I don't think double clink for the man who bought the drink warrants 43 people not turning up to his birthday. That feels like a disproportionate punishment for saying double clink for the guy who bought the drink.
Oh, man. I feel for him now. I wish I could turn back the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in a short answer to your question, how to deal with co-workers, I have no advice on that at all.
Okay, do you want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay. I have an exam next Tuesday. This is from KGOCarney30.
Right.
These are Instagram handles.
Yeah.
I have an exam next Tuesday and I'm woefully underprepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what level the exam is.
I mean, I'm a little bit worried that your following's quite young if it's...
What do you mean?
Well, it's a bit like if they're just doing their GCSEs.
Why are you worried? I'm not fucking everyone that follows me on Instagram.
Fucking literal, like that was a tiny little tick at you, and you literally came back with a fucking haymaker. Fucking everybody out who follows me on Instagram, mate. How to deal with such a thing? Look, if I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't prepare for any of my exams.
Are you one of these pricks that on GCSE results day or A level results day, you post up a thing on social media going,
hey, anybody that's worried about their results, don't worry. I didn't get a single GCSE, and look where I'm at.
Are you one of those?
Mate, I tell you, every bit that I do of you, that's literally, you've come back. I know where you've been through fucking the first 2 days of lockdown, working on that impression.
God. What were you going to go on to say before I hijacked it?
No, number one, I've never put out on any of my social media outlets. Actually, I probably have,
So it feels like the sort of thing you would do. in a positive way, I mean. You like to help, don't you? I mean that as a compliment.
But also, genuinely, if I was to do it all over again, I wish I'd paid a bit more attention and been a bit better at school. I think there's a lot to be said about it, but I also get the fact that not everyone's going to be academic, so and I think a lot of it's just bullshit stuff anyway that you're never going to use. I was even thinking, when do you even count up to 100 in life? Well, after you're done with hide and seek, when do you even count up to 100?
Tom, the reason that you know the numbers 1 to 100 is not so that you can count to it on request. It's so that you know how many things of a thing there are.
Yeah, yeah, but after... Right, okay.
If you can't count up to 100, if you saw 43 things... You would have no idea how many. You get that, right? You don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get that.
You're not learning. You're not learning the numbers 1 to 100 so that you can count on demand from 1 to 100.
What I mean by that, right, is after 100.
By the way, I've heard examples of this argument a lot because I was a maths teacher, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard people say, "When do you really need to? When in your life have you ever had to find out what X is?" When in your life have you ever really had to find out how long the hypotenuse is of anything?
Two questions I'd love the answer to.
Yeah, sure. They're valid arguments about the maths curriculum. What I have never heard is when in your life have you had to count from 1 to 100 as an example of a flaw in the maths curriculum?
But you know what I'm saying, though, yeah?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I do. I know what you're saying. Yeah, it's wrong, is what I'm saying to you.
But there's just a lot of numbers to get your head around.
Sure. Right. Okay.
Like, how many things you actually need? Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean, how many things do you need?
You go, I've got 50 trainers, right?
Yeah.
But seldom do you get into the thousands or the 500s.
Sure.
I think there should be a level of stuff.
So what, you think kids should know up to what? What number? Where would you draw the line at? What's the maximum number?
I think if everything in life went up to 500, it'd be easier.
If everything in life went up to 500? I just think
sometimes...
So you've got... I assume that you've had more than £500 in your bank account in the...
Yeah, yeah, but no, yeah. So what I'd go is if, say...
So what happens then? What happens then when you get above...
Yeah, but then I'd just go, I've got 400 or 500 in my bank, if I had 2 grand in my bank.
I've got 400 or 500, and you think that's easier, do you, than saying 2,000?
I just think it's different.
I've got 7,500s.
How much is that?
What? 3,000. You see what I mean?
Yeah. maybe they've had it right. I'm not saying I'm an educator. Maybe they have. They've asked me a question about what we should do about exams, and there's a few things that I just want to look. It depends on subject. When it comes to maths, you're not going to be able to cram. English, you're going to... I think history, you can cram quite a lot in. Geography, just pick a few places. Put them in dread.
You know what I'm going to say to you? This is my advice, right? Is prepare as best you can.
Probably in this scenario, this is one place where you're probably better to give advice.
One place? What, have you listened to the Wolf and Owl podcast? Yeah, they do this advice stuff. Just so you know, if you've got a question on anything apart from maths and teaching... Tom's the one to go to. But in that very specific niche thing of preparing for a maths exam, that's when Romesh comes into his own. Do you know what? I would say to that person, prepare as best you can. And if you fail, that is for the best. You know what I mean? Like, it's never make or break. Do you know what I mean? You'll always be able to resit it. And you know what? If you fail it, you didn't know it well enough. You know, that's what exams are for. People get too much. They get too pressured into like thinking, "I've got to fucking smash this exam." You do. You should smash that exam if you know it. But if you don't, that's just how it is. Do you know what I mean? Exams cause too much stress.
I think what you're trying to say is, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah. I suppose so. Yeah. If you want to sort of put a real kind of sort of quaint button on it, then yeah. I suppose so. That is what I'm saying.
Button. That'd be a cool t-shirt, I think, to go. If I was going to wear any t-shirt to an exam, that's what I'd wear.
What? You'd wear a t-shirt to an exam that says, if at first you don't succeed, try again?
Yeah. Because I think the teachers would look at you and, like, you know, in those American movies, I'd walk in, I'd sit down at my desk, and the teacher would look over and goes, "Where's Davis?" And then he'd look at the back and he'd see my t-shirt. And
he's the only guy not wearing uniform. He's wearing a t-shirt that he's had made with a fucking ridiculous slogan on it.
No, but I think the teacher would look at you, because in his head he thinks you're going to fail the maths exam, and then he'd just nod. Yeah, I'm there. And that's, well, look, and that's how I deal with exams.
Yeah, well, good to know. Good to know. Tom.
Yo.
It's about that time, brother. can you please, in your own inimitable style, take us out?
Listen, life is a roller coaster. It's going to be full of ups and downs. Sometimes you're at the top of the roller coaster looking down upon the earth, and you might look next to you and see an annoying coworker or a friend that you've never been honest with. Maybe that's the time to tell them what other people are thinking. Maybe that's the time for true honesty, when you know that not only the roller coaster is going to go down, but also this person's feelings are also going to go down. Because as soon as the roller coaster bottoms out, it's only going to go back up again. And hopefully that'll pick their spirits up. And that's how to look at life. Sometimes you're going to feel up, sometimes you're going to feel down. Don't revel in the lows and don't look forward to the highs. Try and get a plateau of serenity that is the middle ground. And that is my lesson for today.
That's really good. Was any part of you regret the going with the roller coaster thing?
Yeah, almost instantly. I completely regretted using the roller coaster. Very much like an actual roller coaster. Once you're in a, once you're breaking down a situation, when you're on a roller coaster, there's no way off it. Really, you've got to go with the roller coaster.
Sure.
Yeah, analogy. So
what a beautiful. Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, Tom is a massive Ronan Keating fan. So that's kind of where that's.
Yeah.
That's come from.
I love my Irish boy bands.
Tom Davis.
Yeah.
Been a pleasure.
Robert Fregan, Nathan. It's been an absolute dream.
I've been the owl.
I've been the wolf, baby.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah.